Do you know what day it is?
Please tell me.
Please tell me.
Today's Wednesday.
What you gonna do?
Wednesday.
What you gonna do?
Wednesday.
But really, what would you call it?
You really don't know.
You really don't know.
Hump day?
It's showtime, baby.
Why a movie with Carrot Top?
He was great. He did a wonderful job.
All right.
It's like 9.5 weeks, but Carrot Top.
Is it called 9.5 seconds? If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it'd be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
I made it too.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the board.
Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
TSN 1200.
Outstanding. He'll be missed. Welcome back, everybody. 9:14 here on a Wednesday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Still to come, Steve Lloyd, Steve Bunda, Kenny Walls will take over after 10 o'clock this afternoon. Lee and Creature on the drive this afternoon as A.J., with the Red Blacks on a mini-buy, is enjoying his own mini-buy, a little bit of vacation time back home. He'll, be back when the Red Blacks are back, which is 1 week from tonight. They'll take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the rare Wednesday night home game against the Tiger Cats 1 week from tonight. We'll have tickets. In fact, we're going to have a TSN 1200 all-day ticket giveaway coming up on Friday. This Friday, pair of tickets every single hour starting at 7 a.m., through 5 p.m. That's 10 pairs of tickets for next Wednesday's game. That's coming up Friday here on TSN 1200. Also, thanks to Chris Moore from the Sens chiming in. Heard us discussing, because people are asking, about the Sens prospects game against Montreal Saturday. Is going to be on the Sens YouTube channel. Okay? So they're going to use Dean and Gord, be calling the game here on TSN 1200. They're going to use our audio feed. So that will be your Sens soundtrack anyway, right?
Yeah.
So that's the Sens YouTube channels where you can find the prospects game on Saturday.
Yeah, always nice now, Jerry. You can mirror that up to the big TV. Not a big computer guy myself watching it. So, yeah, for Sens fans, it'll be fun to watch.
All right. Well, here we are. It's September the 15th. Training camp for Ottawa. The Sens, the big league Sens, will open 1 week from tonight. As we sit here right now, there is one giant question still to be answered from this offseason, and that is, where's Brady Tkachuk, or where's Upchuck, as the what's Upchuck, as the segment has been going here for the last little bit. There is no update, according to Simmer. As of this morning, he remains in St. Louis, which in all likelihood is where he will remain until the contract is agreed to and signed. So we thought, well, since we can't bring the horse's mouth directly to us, let's do our next best thing. Talk to an Ottawa guy who's in St. Louis. So we welcome to the show on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, good Ottawa guy, now one of the voices of the St. Louis Blues, Darren Pang. How are you doing this morning, Darren?
I am doing fantastic. What's up, Chuck? I like that a lot.
Now, next time you see it, I'm guessing that you probably, St. Louis is not that big a hockey community, that you're seeing a lot of the St. Louis guys, both those with the Blues and those that call St. Louis home. You've seen them a lot this summer?
Well, I have. I spend the majority of my summer in Michigan now. I get away from the heat here. It is incredibly humid here in St. Louis, but I am back and have been back for a few days and played in the Blues charity golf tournament as well on Friday. So I ended up or on Monday, excuse me, and so I saw a bunch of the guys there, and I'm going out to the prospects practices this morning. The team is one of the teams that go to Traverse City in what I think is the best, prospects kind of tournament. Two rinks there in Traverse City, a beautiful town in northern Michigan. And, you go back and forth to the two rinks, you see all the team's top prospects. So our guys are getting ready to go there. I have not seen Brady, although last year I played probably 3 or 4 rounds of golf with Brady and Matthew and got to see him quite a bit. And so, But I have not seen him yet at this point this summer because I've been gone.
And let's be honest about Traverse City. Let's talk about the golf as well. How's the game? And I heard you got a hole in one the other day as well.
Simmer, I did it at the Blues charity event. Yeah.
But is that a first? I saw Mike downstairs. He wasn't sure. I mean, have you had one before?
I have. I had one. It's funny thing because I just did a charity roast of Brett Hull last night on Zoom with a bunch.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Darren? Okay.
will endeavor to find Darren Pang. He went away.
Yeah.
Sometimes the phone bill isn't paid on Darren's part. Verizon or whatever it may be. We'll try and track him down here.
Yeah, I saw he was up in Michigan. Anybody that knows him knows Panger is a great golfer. Also one of the best lacrosse players, JR, to ever come out of Ottawa. So a terrific, terrific athlete. And, yeah, loves to get out and swing the sticks. And if you go to that Traverse City tournament, and I think Kenny Hall and the originator back in the day, the whole reason you have it there, it is some of the most gorgeous golf on the planet. And by the time you get to this time, they got the Jack Nicklaus course there and just a whole bunch of others. It's really a cool backdrop if you're going to put on an event like that, not to mention very well supported, at least back in the day, by Wings fans.
Well, and happy to hear that Darren got another hole in one, which is, if you're a golfer, is always a momentous occasion.
Yeah.
Sad to hear that he's being greedy and has had at least one other during his life as someone who also loves to play golf and has never had a hole in one. Darren, you're regaling us with roasting Brett Hull last night.
The first hole in one I had was with Holly, playing in the Public's Golf Championship here in St. Louis. So very cool to get one and to see it go in there. But this one was at Bellerive Country Club, and I'm still one behind my late mother. So I got some work to do before she passed. She had three of them, so I'm one behind, and I'll hopefully turn the table now.
Good stuff. All right. So listen, the reason we wanted to bring you on is to get a. As you said, you haven't spent a whole bunch of time around St. Louis, but you're very familiar, having spent many off seasons there. With the, can you kind of give us a general, before we get into specific Brady stuff, into the general sort of growth of the hockey scene in St. Louis over the time that you've been there?
Oh my goodness, it's been. I mean, let's face it, that draft where the Blues, the Blues AAA team had five first rounders. Was really something that kind of created a lot of interest around the hockey world. At that point, the St. Louis Blues had a slogan, the heartland of hockey. The Blues got the Winter Classic, and then, the team was starting to really be competitive and ready to win a championship. And then the Blues win the Stanley Cup, and then all these kids, including Matthew and Brady and Luke Cunningham and Trent Frederick, now they're first round picks. I think the reason why it's been successful here is so many Blues players from we always talk about Jeff Brown and Kelly Chase and Al McGinnis and Keith Tkachuk and they've done a great job, but there's so many other guys, in the alumni. Ottawa guy Jamie Rivers does such a great job with minor hockey right here. Jamal Mayers, they all seem to stay here. There's a great quality of life here in St. Louis, in the suburbs. There's affordability. And I think what happened, too, to improve it is some of the old rinks that were just needed to be pushed down, got knocked down. But the investors here in St. Louis, because of the, great passion for hockey, for the AAA Blues, they built a three rink sheet that's just magnificent. The St. Louis Blues are at Centene Ice Plaza. There's four rinks there. So I guess all in all, there's a lot of availability here for the Blues players, and there's a lot of competitiveness for it, and I think that has an awful lot to do with the alumni that have retired over the years and have stayed here and really made an effort to make the hockey better and to go into different cities and really compete and win Quebec Pee Wee championships and really be national champions in every level. So I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, even Tim Peel, the former referee. He's a good friend of mine. We play a lot of golf together. He and Jamal Mayers are coaching their son's team. They're in Michigan. They're posting pictures. They're winning, and they're not AAA players, but I don't know. There's something about this city. It's a great hockey city. It's a great sports city, as you guys well know.
A panger to that, when we were coming through, we'd have the annual skates in the summertime, and Ottawa at that time had enough NHL players, kind of a fabric. In a lot of ways, does what's happening in St. Louis pretty much mirror what we saw here in Ottawa when we were growing up?
Yeah, that's a great point. I remember on summer, we'd be up, especially up in Barrhaven, and you'd get ready for those skates, and I remember at the time you got Mike Bullard, and you had Claude Wiesel, and you had Claude Julien, some of the older guys that were there, and then you had some of the younger guys, like myself, and you had Jim Ralph and Steve Yzerman, and it just became, you're right, Simmer, it was competitive, because number one, you didn't want to do anything in Ottawa, I didn't, and not succeed at it. You wanted to, there was great competition, and you wanted to be amongst the best there. It didn't matter what sport you were playing. And so I think that, you know, that there is probably some similarities there. All these young kids from St. Louis here, I mean, they see in the arenas at the Blues practice facility, there's a wall of every St. Louis, you know, product that has played in the NHL, starting with Pat LaFontaine was born in St. Louis. So they've got him in there. Former goaltender Mike McKenna. They didn't play much in the NHL, but still he was, you know, played a lot of years pro, and every single player is up there. And I think, you know, kids go by that mural and they look at that. I've seen young kids just stare at it with their hockey bags over their shoulders. And yeah, I know exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking, someday I want to be up there with Brady Tkachuk and Matthew Tkachuk and all these guys. And so that has created a real competitiveness here in a good way.
With Darren Pang, of course, from Ottawa, now one of the color analysts for the St. Louis Blues. Darren joining us from St. Louis this morning. So, listen, the reason we wanted to bring you on, Darren, was talk about the St. Louis hockey scene, but in specific about Brady Tkachuk, because as you can imagine, everybody's on tenterhooks here in Ottawa awaiting the Senators and Tkachuk to sign some sort of contract agreement. He remains unsigned, as do about 15 other restricted free agents. So, as you mentioned, you have spent summers past golfing with him, getting to know Brady Tkachuk. How do you, if you could imagine how he would be feeling right now, a week away from training camp, what do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I think he's very fortunate that he's got the family situation, as you well know. You've probably seen pictures posted of Brady and actually Robert Thomas that live with him. Obviously, St. Louis Blues, another guy that's unsigned at this particular point as a restricted free agent, and Matthew and Big Walt getting Taryn off to school. They're such a tight family, as you guys well know. It's well documented. I don't have to go into it, but they, you know, so that kind of support would make it, you know, a lot better for Brady. But Brady Tkachuk, he loves the players that are there in Ottawa. He's talked time and time again about the group that you've got there in Ottawa, and you know, so many of them similar age. They want to be Stanley Cup winners there. So I think I would have to say, without speaking entirely on behalf of Brady, that this is not easy for him to leave his teammates behind in this situation. And although it's not complete, because you know, camp hasn't started just yet. You know, there's probably something internally there with Brady that would be bothering him in a big way. But like I said, that's a family that's gone through this before. And that would be a big help for him. But there's no question about it. That guy said he's a great team guy. He loves his teammates. He always says good things about them. He always pushes them to be harder. And I'm just such a big fan of everything about the kid. I think he's just got unbelievable fabric about him. I'm just a remarkable character about Brady.
And is that, as you kind of pointed out, Panger, a nice thing that it's like, hey, sit back and just understand this is business. You know, it's nothing personal. At some point, we'll probably get something done. But, hey, you got to go through this process, unfortunately. Yeah.
You know what, Simmer? I remember I just retired from the Blackhawks, and for whatever reason, Bill Wirtz he wasn't very happy with the owner of the original Winnipeg Jets, and remember they made an offer sheet to
Big
Walt?
It
was like something like $17 million. It seemed like just a mound of money, especially coming from the Wirtzes. So he was making a point, and you know, so even that experience for Big Walt, who loved, you know, Winnipeg and love being in Canada, and isn't it funny that Walt, you know, drafted by Winnipeg, here he is, an American, kind of an icon playing in Canada, and Matthew gets drafted to Canada, and Brady gets drafted to Canada. Mm-hmm. I think the family surroundings and the strength of the family will help Brady make, you know, this business decision for him. I mean, you know, it is not easy, and it's kind of the part of the game too, fellas, that you know, the general managers and the ownership group used to have control over only one thing, you know, entry level and restricted free agents. And you know, that doesn't happen anymore. That went by the wayside in their negotiating power. And you know, now all of a sudden, and you know, you've got these players that are still players that you think you have under good control contract wise they're getting eight, you know, some of them are bad deals, you know, eight times eight, and some of them end up being good deals. When you look at it, you know, after 7 or 8 years, you go, well, that was a really good deal for both teams. But by and large, they're at such a young age that I'm not sure if any of them should be making that kind of money, you know, that early in their career. But that's probably another topic at another time.
Yeah, that horse, I think, is out of the barn now. I think it started probably with, Simmer says back to the days of Brad Richards, but probably Leon Draisaitl's contract in Edmonton started it. But in retrospect, that looks like, well, that's a good deal for Edmonton in terms of his production. If you think back to a couple of years ago, Matthew Tkachuk went through the same thing. He was unsigned to start camp with Calgary, and I think it was about 10 days or so. He missed a few exhibition games and then finally signed, I think, on the 25th of September. And you mentioned Keith Tkachuk's history of signing an offer sheet before. Does that give Brady some, his dad and his brother kind of having gone through a similar, if we call it at this point, a negotiation, a tough negotiation, does that give him some kind of comfort that other direct family has lived it, and Matthew as recently as 2 years ago?
Yeah, I would probably say just confidence. You know, not bravado confidence, because that's not what that really isn't what he's all about, but just confidence. Confidence to know that he's a good person, he's a great teammate. What's he average? Is it 20, 22 goals a season? But he brings so many more of the intangibles that every single team in the NHL would want to have that Brady brings to the table. So, yeah, I would have to say that it's likely uneasy, but I would have to think that he's still very confident in his situation. But the other part, different than Matthew signed late in September, but, you know, with the COVID restrictions, you're not going to be able to just jump right into it. So that'll be a difficulty, even if it's signed, just before the first, before the first game of the regular season. Mm-hmm. So there would be some more difficulties in that, and it would have to take a little bit more patience on everybody's behalf to get up and running and make sure that the player's not pushed into a situation where he's not ready, maybe physically or just shape-wise. You don't want that player going through all of this and then, pushing it and then getting hurt early on in the season. You could ill afford to have that happen.
Yeah, great point. Panger, just thoughts on the Blues, kind of where they're at, a couple of years removed from a cup. Thoughts on the move. I thought Bucinavich was a great pickup, but just overall roster, and I guess any news on Thomas as well?
Yeah, nothing on Thomas, and I did see him the other day, and he just kind of shrugged. And I think he's looking at that Jordan Kyrou that got a 2-year bridge deal at 2.8, and it's clear that Robert Thomas has done more in the NHL, including obviously winning a Stanley Cup and setting up one of the greatest goals in Blues history in Game 7 in double overtime against Dallas. So I would think that there's frustration on their behalf. I believe that he and Brady are represented by the same. Is that Craig Oster? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does he know the family? He's close to the family, right?
Great. Oh, Robert Thomas?
No, Craig Oster.
Yeah, Craig Oster. Yeah, there's Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas lived at the Tkachuk's place his first 2 years. But, yeah, so, I mean, Robert's, again, going back to it, yes, Robert is a big part of it. So I think there's maybe a little frustration mounting there. It's funny how some players, maybe some agents, get deals done quicker than others. And some have difficulties with certain general managers out there and just make it a little bit more difficult. So hopefully Robert Thomas gets going. I think the Blues are still in really good shape. You mentioned Bucinavich. They'll miss Jaden Schwartz. He signed as a youth. He went through a real tough time last year, Simmer. Really tough time. I mean, lost his dad shoveling snow at the age of 51. Yeah. They were very, very close. And so he kind of went through a dark spot. I think he needs a fresh change, and that's what he's told me a couple of times. So I think they're still feeling the effects of Jay Bouwmeester and Alexander Steen, to be quite honest with you. Those guys were glue guys in that locker room. And same with Alex Pietrangelo. But at the same time, they signed Parayko, and they've got all the pieces are right there. So, I would have to think that they want to prove to a lot of people that what happened last year and during the bubble was an aberration and not where they are going forward.
Yeah, it's funny how it all circles back to Newport Sports. Hindsight, because I know Army does a great job, but do you think both sides, he and the Pietrangelo along with Newport Sports, if they could do it over again, they get a deal done with the Blues?
It's a good conversation to have. Yeah. I think everybody, they dug their toes deep into it. And But I do think, in fairness, I think Alex Pietrangelo, and this is my conversations with him, and I did sit down with him a number of times just to get a feel for where he was at. And a lot of these guys, they're really adamant about upfront bonuses, and especially later on in the contracts, salary being very low, and then big time bonuses. Well, Doug Armstrong, give him credit, and the Blues ownership group, which is consists of about 14 individuals. They're not real big on big bonus money. you know, they're just one of those teams that that's not been something they've done. That they don't want to make that phone call to 14 owners and ask for, you know, big, huge bonus money. So I think that was another reason why Vegas was able to pay maybe a smaller cap number, but bigger is the bonuses for them.
All right, good stuff. On that, we'll put a wrap on it. And thank you very much for your time, Darren, as always. And a little bit of insight, as you can imagine, what the situation is here in Ottawa. It is the number one story as we're a week away from camp. We'll see. It only takes one phone call, one hour. Maybe things can be cinched up, but we'll wait and see on that. Appreciate the time this morning. Congrats on the hole-in-one and your second one. And hopefully a third one to come, and you can tie your late mother. That would be family bragging rights there, right? Thanks a lot, Darren. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Have a great day. See
you. All right. There's Darren Pang joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the bigger, better pizza. Order online at GabrielPizza.com.
Yeah, pretty interesting, eh? Craig Oster, and that's Newport Sports. So that's Thomas. Last year was Petrangelo, which I think is by Donnie Meehan. So the fact it's Newport Sports, each individual a little different, but now enter in kind of Brady Tkachuk. And I just felt like that was almost a Curtis Joseph moment where both sides, when he left Toronto back in the day, Jarrett, was a bad move for both. And I think if they could have a do-over. And I don't really understand from an ownership standpoint, especially in a backloaded contract, you're paying less initially. Why not tuck a little bit of that salary away and say, hey, I didn't have to pay $3 or $4 million this year. Why don't we just put it into a signing bonus down the road? It's really fiscally no different, you know, and to hold the line on a guy that probably would have had his number retired. Mm-hmm. I thought that, hey, both sides could probably wish they had a do-over.
By the way, I'm just kind of looking up Matthew Tkachuk's three-year bridge deal he signed in Calgary. And as Darren mentioned, and as we've talked about before, he did he was absent from training camp for a bit and signed just before the season began. So it's an average annual value of $7 million, as we've talked about. It's structured, though. It was $5 million in year one, $7 million this past year, which was year two, and it'll be $9 million for the coming season. And then he'll be still one more year before he's an unrestricted free agent. But signing bonuses, Matthew Tkachuk got $4 million in the first year and $3 million in this past year, but zero for this coming season. So the $9 million is all in salary. So there is $7 million in bonus money for brother Matthew. And again, you have to wonder, having gone through it with the dad and the brother, whether that is, if we go back to the discussion, is it about money or is it about philosophical differences and structure of contract and bonuses that at this point hasn't allowed the two sides to bridge the gap?
Yeah, and again, I'm not an accountant, JR, but I'd say this to you. If in a normal sense, a three-year contract is $7 million per, if I'm only paying $5 million the first year, if $4 million of that is in bonus, I'm still way ahead of the game. Do you know what I mean? I don't really understand why you get hung up on that, where the $9 million in real money in the third year is going to be spread across. Just wouldn't have the hesitation to pay the bonus the way that is now. Paying $20 million, like we've seen with some crazy contracts in the past on the first year, first day, like Nylander or other guys, okay, you got an argument, but not on these backloaded contracts.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point he brings up as well, Darren. Just to wrap up the the talk about the, you know, COVID requirements and and when Brady Tkachuk signs, it is not like it has been in any other year other than the last 2 years, where hey, you jump on a bird, you're here, boom, you're on the ice the next day. You know, this is I stand to be corrected on this. Maybe the NHL deal with the government is different, but I believe with people coming in from the U.S., is there still the 7-day quarantine? Am I right in that?
Absolutely. Well, again, that's what I know. But here's the other part of this, JR, that's quite interesting, is that Brady Tkachuk technically would have to enter Canada, and if he signed a contract, would have to leave again, right, to get his work visa?
I've never understood how that works. So you'd be more of an expert on that than I.
You technically have to depart the country. Now, I guess you could also drive down to Ogdensburg and then come back in. But I think this also shows a stance of, if you really thought they were close to a deal, and Panger makes a great point, which I am going to steal on Twitter, 50-50 whether or not I give him credit for it. You know, the fact that he's not in Ottawa and has already gone through the quarantine periods tells you that, hey, basically, unless we hear differently, that, hey, you got a week here as well if you're Ottawa, right? Mm-hmm. That basically, as of today, if he's not signed, he's not going to be reporting for training camp. Am I accurate in saying that?
He wouldn't be on the ice for the first
day. Yeah, so that's really interesting.
Unless there are different rules, and I'll be quite honest with you, I've had trouble keeping up with all of it. It always seems to be ever-changing, but I know that the rules for any regular traveler coming in is 7 days, right?
Yeah, and also news from
the... But it could be wrong.
Also news from the St. Louis side, working very hard to move Tarasenko. That is really something that they really looked at. With a couple of years left, though, very hard, very doubtful. I'm sure he's calling his good friend Doug Armstrong in Arizona saying, come on, Army. You know, you got a couple of years here. I'll give you a little something else. But that's certainly a move they'd like to make. And I actually go through their roster now. I think they got a decent team. But I think they were lucky to captivate that window and win a cup. I don't look at them as a cup contender any longer.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if they added a sweetener to take Tarasenko's contract, and Arizona will just add to, what, they got three first-rounders and five second-rounders?
Yeah.
So next summer's draft, which I think is in Montreal,
it is,
basically be the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, kind of like what we saw in Ottawa a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thoughts on any of that, what Darren had to say? Always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. It is 9:38 as we continue along on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Ottawa versus Carleton University. It's the two universities, and they play a game against each
other. Crosstown rivalry.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so everybody goes and gets parties up and has, and they do, they drink and they do beer and then they do some more beer and everything, you know? And sometimes they mix the beer with the beer.
Oh, no. That's dangerous, isn't it?
Welcome back, 9:46. That little clip doesn't really do it justice because that's about a five-minute story. But
what does that mean, JR? I'm missing something. They mix the beer with the beer, what?
No, he's just having fun. Okay. There's a lot of beer being drunk.
Because I thought they'd be throwing a little shooting urine balloons and everything else. So that would for sure
Is
going to be...
No,
he
doesn't quite get to that.
Okay.
He has a personal story to tell.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's the truth or not, who's to know? That's what makes good humor.
Yeah, for sometimes
it's just an it's just a story that's exaggerated.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. 9:46. We've had lots of great fun playing some old Norm MacDonald clips from over the years after his... unfortunate passing yesterday at the age of 61, a guy who got his career started right here in our little old hometown. Thanks again to Darren Pang. By the way, Steve Lloyd, good enough to text in, reminding us that regarding anything, not just you know, sports athletes, etc., that the change in government policy. So if you are double vaccinated, then you do not have to quarantine. So don't know the status of Brady Tkachuk, but Lloydy points out something very interesting as we get set for our main camps to open 1 week from today, that the NHL is essentially, through the rules that it has put out about is essentially said, if you're not double vaccinated, you're not welcome, be it a fan or be it someone who works in the industry, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Sylvain Lefebvre, the assistant coach in Columbus, has... refused, whatever it is, doesn't want to be vaccinated. He has now left that position and will be replaced. Same thing happened in San Jose, although the assistant who I'm gapping on their name right now, I think it was Rocky Thompson, actually. His is more...
Rocky had a medical issue.
Yeah, he had a medical issue, but he could not be vaccinated. Yeah. So he has decided to leave his position as an assistant or associate coach. So all that to say, the NHL has made it very much an uncomfortable place if you choose not to be vaccinated. So when camps open next Wednesday, are we going to see some players who are absent? And the reasoning will be maybe not explained.
Yeah.
But we can intimate from it is the fact that they are at that point refusing to be vaccinated.
Yeah, it could be, Jer. Real interest.
For whatever reason.
And for Sylvain Lefebvre, I think with Steve McCarthy taking over, that sounded more like, thoughts or whatever, beliefs where Rocky I felt bad for. Yeah, also interesting is, and again, said this, I really thought based in the hockey culture and kind of where it was at, I didn't think they'd have an issue. I also really knew the NBA said no chance that they're going to force players to be vaccinated because the players run the league. So, each league certainly has a very different policy into it. And the National Hockey League, that's the one they've adopted.
But it would be hard to believe that with 700 odd players around the National Hockey League, that 700 out of 700 would agree.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
Look at society right now.
Yeah.
At, what are we in? The last figure I saw in Ottawa of all eligible people, 84% were vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are some that, for a variety of circumstances, aren't, would like to be, for whatever reason. But there are certainly people out there who will not be vaccinated.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It would be a stretch to believe.
Yeah.
That there aren't National Hockey League players who share that same belief.
No, and agree. And now the next phase is a player. Well, if it comes, you know, hey, opportunity, or you're going to miss a paycheck, then I think you're going to get vaccinated. And then how does the league handle that? In a sense of, they basically said that then what, the league and the Players Association will sit down and decide, okay, hey, you know what, you have a medical issue or you have a reason, or you can use the religion card. So I think if you're, would you agree, JR, that if you say, hey, for religious beliefs, I don't want to get vaccinated, that you're still going to be able to play?
I thought I had read somewhere, though, that again, someone had said, and I don't.
Okay.
This is foggy memory. I don't know if this was hockey or this was another of the sports, that they are going to be vigilant about this. This can't be a made up excuse.
Okay,
in other words, if you weren't a religious person and all of a sudden you claim for religious reasons you can't be vaccinated, you're going to have to, in a way, you know, prove it.
You'll have to show.
I don't know. And how do you do that?
Well, you'd have to show your attendance at church.
That's true.
Right?
Here's all my givings, my tithes from the past year.
You sign into the book or something there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Maybe you go, I worship from home.
Or even the donations you make on Sundays to the big guy out of Texas there. Show your tax receipts.
Sure. Okay. The guy out of Texas.
Yeah.
Mean one of those hoodwinker
like
guys?
Judd Upmeyer, whatever it is, the guy that's got the big ears there, fairly weird looking. He's the big guy nowadays. Always got the 15 or 20,000 on a Sunday. Thought he's out of Texas.
Sure. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
You should.
Let's see here. How can Pierre Dorion say he wants to, as a Texas has come in, say he wants to win now while simultaneously doing nothing to improve the roster? This was another terrible offseason, wasn't it? That comes from Unsigned, who, in honor of Norm MacDonald today, we have said all unsigned texts will be from Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, Turd, I'm not feeling that much. I actually think this is fine. And now the big one is getting Brady Tkachuk signed, but the move of Del Zotto was fine. Getting out from underneath Daddy, I thought was an absolute
Batherson
great
signing was a great signing.
Oh, it is for sure.
And getting DJ Smith signed.
Big and then Pierre Maguire.
Pierre Dorion himself signing an extension.
No,
it doesn't sound like our texter is necessarily a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
But
sure,
you have stability. We'll put it that way. At coach, at general manager, you have one of your unsigned restricted free agents now signed to a very good contract, I think, that both sides are very good with. So what is it, a terrible offseason? I don't know.
Well,
the owner is the one who came out and said, we need a center and we need a defenseman.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't know that based on what he described as the type of defenseman they wanted to bring in, that Del Zotto necessarily is that.
Or Hogan.
Holden? Yeah.
Holden, sorry. Hell, I keep calling him that. Yeah, Holden.
Okay, and they have not brought in a center much talked about.
Well, but again, if there isn't the fit, still some whispers about Kadri, and this isn't even Ottawa. You look at names, I don't think it's Eichel, JR, but if the move isn't there, don't force it. And you've got a good young core right now that I have not had any expectations of playoffs, and for the way the team sits right now, JR, I don't have them either, but that's not a bad thing. So, yeah, I don't think it was a bad offseason for the Ottawa Senators. A real key for them now, and what'll just slide the foundation, and we're not going to put the house up for sale because it's certainly not for sale, but if you sign Brady Tkachuk to an 8-year contract, you've got a nice looking shack now, and now you're looking to add the odd piece, maybe add a nice big TV to the man cave, because don't want to say it's totally done, but you're in a real good shape if you're Ottawa right now.
I would say that the house would be at that point, I wouldn't say it's fully furnished.
No.
I'd say that the main rooms, you know how say that people sometimes have been house poor?
That's true.
In other words, they have
that's
a really, really nice house.
Yeah.
The rooms that you get when you get invited to people's houses, right? You get invited to, like, the living room. You sit in the living room, and the living room is done up to the nines.
That's right. That's right.
But you can see down the hall and around the corner is some other big room.
Yeah.
Sits empty.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So a couple empty rooms.
Even the possibility landscaping and very trendy to get a pool now.
Yes.
Certainly no pool. So
landscaping done in the front, nothing in the back.
Nothing in the back, exactly.
Yeah. Party in front, nothing in the back.
And the man cave has probably been done.
Oh, for sure.
But you haven't had the plumbing done. Like, that's the one thing you want out of
the
toilet
going
there. Well, no, plumbing in the basement. The rest of the plumbing is good. Yeah. So you've had everything kind of put into place. You've got some carpet. Like I say, you're in pretty good shape here. But you also don't want to force anything, right? You don't want to bring in a bad decorator. You don't want to end up in a situation here where maybe it doesn't fit properly, right? Maybe your pool ends up being too big. So as I say,
I can't speak for every fan that's out there. Yeah. But if I were to generalize about the feeling of your average Ottawa Senator fan and their expectations for this coming season, I do not think that expectations are sky high. People are looking for playoffs and playoff runs and this is going to be the year. I think expectations are for an improved team.
Yeah.
where, most importantly, the young players continue to show progression and show that, in some cases, they are ready or already are core players who are becoming better, that some of the other young players, when given an opportunity, show they are National Hockey League players.
Yeah.
I think that's what people are looking for. Whether turns into, it should turn into more points, I would think, in terms of the division standings. Is it good enough for Ottawa to be a playoff team this year? Some of that is going to be dependent on the caliber of the other teams in the division. I think we can all agree Tampa is going to make the playoffs again. I don't see any reason that the Leafs are going to make such a step back that they're not a playoff team. They're a playoff team. I think we agree that Buffalo is bad and going to rebuild again, that Detroit is not very good, that Ottawa should finish ahead of those two teams. So that leaves Florida, Boston, and Montreal, okay? Florida looks like they're heading in the right direction. They made some signings, some trades. They look good. So that's three teams. Three teams are guaranteed to make the playoffs and maybe a fourth or fifth, depending on the wild card. So that speaks to... Is Boston going to be good again? Are they going to take a step back? What's up with Montreal? Was last year an aberration? Are they going to continue to get better? Are they going to take a step back? And then you got Ottawa.
And Ottawa, to me right now, JR, is sixth in the division. That's not a bad thing. I'd hope close to a 500 hockey club. And if you want to say, hey, the young player is going to get better, well, five of your top six forwards automatically are young players, right? Well, Connor Brown, no. But if Brady Tkachuk is in, to Stützle, to Norris, to Batherson, Pinto's got a chance on the back end. Shabbat's still young. Zubmeister. Then you get into some questions on where does Formanton fit in, to Branstrom, to some other pieces, but it's almost an automatic in the sense of the club is being driven by the young players that weren't just trying to adapt last year. They were just a bunch of guys getting in their way. So I don't see any reason why there won't be continued before forward progress. And as I said, go to the rookie game or watch the rookie game on Saturday. It's very interesting as they've graduated a number of players that a system would still run as deep as it does. That, like I said, when they did their top 15, I could make a legit argument that every one of those players is going to... I'm not just saying that, hey, of course, every prospect has some chance, but as I start to look down on a list of who I want to watch Saturday, I could run easily 10 deep of legitimate guys I think are going to play in the National Hockey League.
And that's going to be without... their first-round draft picks from the past 2 years, both of whom aren't eligible to be here, and Jake Sanderson and Tyler Boucher, plus Tyler Cleven, who's a second-round pick.
Yeah, and as I said, and for the Montreal fans, but generally you go to rookie tournaments, JR, and you would not get past three players on a team. Then you get into role players and other things. But like I said, if I'm going to watch there and it's going to be Pinto and Greg and Sokolov and keep going now, JBD, other guys, like I said, there's legitimate chances where it's not just two or three guys, which on the Montreal side, and I don't know Montreal's prospects well enough, but like I say, it generally doesn't run very deep, especially when you've graduated and, as you said, have a bunch of guys that aren't even eligible to show up.
Garrett writes, I got to find it. I received a number of texts since I read his email. Oh, here it is. Okay. Can you guys remind me what the top five teams were in the second half of last season? Were the Sens not amongst them? Why do you have such low expectations? That comes from Garrett. Well, last year, a little bit different, Garrett, because it was all interdivision play. And I think we can agree that the Canadian division was not necessarily the strongest. But did Ottawa improve in the second half of last year? Absolutely. For sure. 100% they did on that. But I think last year, a little bit, just in terms of, hey, our record, we're top five compared to other teams around. I think you have to temper that. Last year is a bit of an odd year.
Well, and also to the pressure down the stretch is off, JR. And I also think teams like Calgary didn't even show up. But here's what I'll also say, and to the texter's point, it's really hard to measure when you look at a team sometimes, JR, and you say, okay, everyone's in their mid-20s or late-20s, or they added a couple of superstars. Hey, young groups, and we've seen this with Chicago back in the day. We saw this with L.A. L.A. was not expected to do anything. They made the Carter trade, and they won the Stanley Cup. It can come fast and furious with young players because it's really hard to quantify and measure how quickly they can move. And again, I'll reserve that because I agree. By the time we get through maybe to January, I am interested to see where Ottawa goes because they can make up the most ground just because the internal growth. Other teams just quite simply don't have that.
Right. All right. Good thoughts.
Oh, man, that was powerful. I think we finished strong.
We did. Well, when we walked in this morning at 6 o'clock, I said right off the top of the show, it's a bit of a light day in the world of sports. We're going to have to make some stuff up.
Yeah, we really did.
And we made some stuff
up.
I thought
we did.
As much doubt. Yeah. And we didn't even get to something Hammer and I had meant to bring up on the show.
Yeah.
We had quite an entertaining time because, so after we have our show, just again, peel back the curtain of how the show works.
Oh,
three of us always have a meeting after the show for about 15 or 20 minutes. We talk about things we were on the show, what's coming up tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. And then Simmer usually leaves. And then Hammer and I have another meeting in my office, which overlooks the parking lot. So it was quite entertaining to watch Simmer attempt to attempt to exit the parking lot yesterday. We should have grabbed video of it because
I almost asked the fella that was helping me to get behind the wheel.
Can you do this for me,
that's
please?
That's really where I was at. I got
at
all
one
these
point, you were almost all the way out because you were back, and then you went all the way back in again. There was about a 15-point turn at one point.
And then he moved the garbage can. I have all these sensors that go off and cameras and stuff, and it just,
JR and I ask is, why don't you back into that spot in the early morning?
When there's no one here.
No, that's an excellent point. Huh? Yeah, no.
You'll find my car, which was parked right beside yours, always backing into the spot. That's the key. It's the drive-thrus in the big parking lots.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Where you have the opportunity, always back in.
Yeah, no, and because you were parked beside Simmer, that car also has a few extra fresh nicks to it as well.
Thank you for that. No. I did notice, though, if I was going to run into a car, that would be the one. Because I don't even think I'd leave a note.
Don't worry. I was watching. All right. I'll put a wrap on it. Thanks for all the feedback today, folks. As always, we're going to turn things over to the Steves, Lloyd and Bunda, and Kenny Walls. Take it through the next 4 hours. It's The Drive this afternoon with Lee and Creature, who's in for AJ this week.